Holmes series by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The first story is called The Sussex Vampire, and here to tell you about it is Dr. Watson.
It was evening of a dull, foggy November day. Following our usual custom, Sherlock Holmes and I had taken our usual stroll about the streets adjoining Regent's Park, but the poisonous brown air had driven us back thankfully to the warmth and comfort of the parlor at 221B Baker Street. As I stretched out my toes to the welcoming blaze, Holmes read carefully a note which the last post had brought him. Then, with a dry chuckle, which was his nearest approach to a laugh, he tossed it over to me.
What do you make of this, my dear Watson? For a mixture of the modern and the medieval, or the practical and the wildly fanciful, if you like, I think this is surely the limit.
Well, let's see. 46 Old Jury, November the 19th. Sir, our client, Mr. Robert Ferguson, of Ferguson and Muirhead, tea broker of Minton Lane, has made some inquiry from us in a communication of even date concerning vampires.
Vampires?
Go on. Yes. As our firm specializes entirely upon the assessment of machinery, the matter hardly comes within our purview, and we have therefore recommended Mr. Ferguson to call upon you and lay the matter before you. We have not forgotten your successful action in the case of Matilda Bruce. We are, sir, faithfully yours, Morrison, Morrison, and Dodd. Matilda Bruce? I don't remember her,
Holmes. It wasn't the name of a young woman, Watson. It was a ship which is associated with the giant rat of Sumatra.
Giant rat of...
A story for which the world is not yet prepared.
Ah.
And what do we know about vampires? Does it come within our purview, either? Make a long arm, Watson, and see what V has to say.
All right.
Anything's better than stagnation, but really we seem to have been switched on to a grim fairy tale.
Here you are.
Thank you. You see. Now, Voyages of Gloria Scott.
Bad business, that.
I have some recollection that you made a record of it. I was unable to congratulate you upon the result. It's a lynch, a forger, venomous lizard or healer. Remarkable case. Victoria the Fetid Bell, Vanderbilt and the Yeggman, Vipers, Vigor, the Hammersmith Wonder. Hello, hello.
Found something?
The good old index. You can't beat it. Listen to this, Watson. Vampirism in Hungary, and again, vampires in Transylvania. Oh, rubbish, Watson, rubbish. What are we to do with walking corpses who can only be held in their graves by stakes driven through their hearts? It's pure lunacy.
But surely the vampire wasn't necessarily a dead man. A living person might have the habit. I've read, for example, of the old sucking the blood of the young in order to retain their youth.
Quite right, Watson. It mentions legend in one of those references. But are we to give serious attention to such things? This agency stands flat-footed upon the ground, and there it must remain. The world is big enough for us. No ghosts need apply.
Bravo, Holmes. So you're not going to take the case of Mr. Robert Ferguson seriously?
The postscriptum to that letter, which you failed to read out, my dear Watson, advises us that the gentleman himself will be calling upon us at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Oh.
I fancy he himself may be able to throw some light upon what is worrying him.
Hello, Watson. You don't look quite the man you did when I threw you over the ropes into the crowd at the old Deer Park.
Ferguson, it's you. Look, I never for one instant connected the name.
I deduce that you gentlemen know one another.
How are we doing
here? Be Bob Ferguson, the finest three-quarter Richmond ever had. Ever days when I played for Blackie.
I never get your limits, Watson. There are unexplored possibilities about you.
You could scarcely picture me playing Rugger as you see me now, Mr. Holmes.
Nor Watson, I fancy. Face it down, Mr. Ferguson, and tell us what brings you to us.
Thank you.
May I ask where you live?
Lumberley, Sussex, south of Horsham. The house is called Cheeseman.
Well, I know that part pretty well. Full of old houses called after the men who built them. Audley's, Harvey's, Carrington's.
Cheeseman's, yes, that's so, Watson. But I'm not here on my own behalf.
Oh?
No, I'm
I'm acting for a friend.
I see. Pray let us have the particulars, then.
Yes. Well, this gentleman married some 5 years ago a Peruvian lady. He'd met her during a business trip to South America. She is very beautiful. But, well, what with her alien ways and so on, it seems as though there are sides of her character that he can never hope to explore. In short, he's come to regard their union as a mistake.
I understand.
Oh, she remains as loving and devoted a wife as a man could wish for. But at the same time, she's begun to show some curious traits. Quite unlike her general nature.
Of what kind?
Well, my friend had been married before. There's a son of 15 by the first marriage. Charming lad. Unfortunately, partially crippled in a childhood accident. Now, on two occasions, my friend's present wife had been caught in the act of assaulting this poor lad in the most unprovoked way.
Good heavens.
That's nothing. There's also a child of the present marriage, a dear little boy under a year old. On one occasion, about a month ago, this child had been left by its nurse for a few minutes. A loud cry from the baby called her back. As she ran into the room, she saw her employer, my friend's wife, leaning over the baby and apparently biting its neck.
Yes.
There was a small wound in the neck and a stream of blood ran down. The nurse was so horrified that she started to call for the husband. But the lady implored her not to and actually gave her £5 to keep silent.
Pray continue, Mr. Ferguson.
As you can imagine, this made a terrible impression on the nurse's mind. She began to keep a close watch on her mistress. It began to seem to her that even as she watched the mother, so the mother watched her. And that every time she was compelled to leave the baby, the mother was waiting to get at it. Day and night, the nurse covered the child, and day and night, the watchful mother seemed to be lying in wait as a wolf waits for a lamb.
Incredible.
That's how it must sound to you, Watson, yet I'm not exaggerating when I say that a child's life and a man's sanity may depend on it. My friend well remembers the day when the nurse's nerve gave way and she told him everything. To him, it seemed as wild a tale as it may now seem to you. He knew his wife to be a loving wife and a loving mother. Then why should she assault her stepson and wound her own dear little baby? He told the nurse that she was dreaming, that such libels upon her mistress were not to be tolerated. Whilst they were talking, a sudden cry of pain was heard.
Another?
Nurse and master rushed together to the nursery. Imagine his feelings as he saw his wife rise from a kneeling position beside the cot and saw blood upon the child's exposed neck and on the sheet. With a cry of horror, he turned his wife's face to the light and saw blood all around her lips. It was she. She, beyond all question, who had drunk the poor baby's blood.
Great heaven.
So the matter stands, and my friend appeals to you, Mr. Holmes. His wife is now confined to her room. He himself is half demented. Vampirism, Mr. Holmes, in the very heart of the English Sussex.
Terrible, absolutely.
Mr. Ferguson, I will examine your case with pleasure.
I can't.
Not, sir. This agency is not a home for the weak-minded. It's no use your pretending to be anyone's deputy.
Suppose it's better to deal direct. Forgive me, Mr. Holmes. You can imagine how difficult it is when you're speaking of the one woman you're bound to protect to help.
I understand.
Then what am I to do? How am I to go to the police with a story like this? And yet I must protect those youngsters. Is it madness, Mr. Holmes? Something in her blood? Have you experience of any case like this? For pity's sake, give me some advice.
Now, pull yourself together, Mr. Ferguson, and just give me a few clear answers.
Yes, of course.
Tell me, what happened after you discovered your wife in this act?
She seemed horrified. She wouldn't speak. Oh, I suppose I raved at her. She only looked at me and in a wild, despairing sort of way. Then she rushed to her room and locked herself in. Since then, she's refused to see me.
Who attends to her once, then?
A maid. Dolores.
Also Peruvian?
She's been with my wife for some years. More a friend than a servant.
And the child? The baby?
The nurse has sworn to me that she will not leave it, night or day. As for poor Jack, the inoffensive little cripple. I only hope if she comes out of the room, he won't happen to be near at hand.
What exactly is his complaint, Ferguson?
Oh, some injury to the spine. He can get about, but only in a limited sort of way.
And yet you say your wife, who is of a loving disposition, has assaulted him twice. In what way?
She struck him savagely.
This maid, Dolores, has been with your wife even before your marriage, I take it?
Oh, yes, quite some time.
Then she might know more about your wife's character than you yourself.
Well, I suppose so.
Well, I fancy I may be of more use at Lamberley than here. It is eminently a case for personal investigation. If the lady remains in her room, our presence cannot annoy or inconvenience her.
That's what I'd hoped to hear you say, Mr. Holmes. There is an excellent train from Victoria at 2. If you could manage it.
With pleasure. A watchman comes with us, of course.
Oh, of course.
Yes, delighted. There are just one or two points I should like to be sure about before we start. This unhappy lady, as I understand it, has appeared to assault both her own baby and your son.
That's true.
But the assaults have taken different forms. Did she give no explanation why she had beaten your son?
Only that she hated him.
That's not uncommon among stepmothers, you know.
I know. There's never been any love between them.
Is your wife jealous by nature?
Highly.
But the boy, he is 15 and probably very developed in mind since his body has been circumscribed in action. Didn't he explain the approach?
Well, he could find no reason.
I see. No doubt you and the boy were great comrades before the second marriage.
Oh, I indeed. He was my greatest comfort after the loss of my wife.
And the boy remained devoted to the memory of his mother?
Most devoted.
A most interesting lad. Now, I have one final inquiry to make of you. Were the strange attacks on the baby and the assaults on your son made at the same time?
They were, yes. In the first case, that is. It was as if some frenzy had seized her, and she'd vented her rage on both of them. But on the second occasion, when she attacked my son, she made no attempt on the baby.
Oh, that certainly complicates matters.
But I don't quite follow you.
Possibly not. One forms provisional theories and waits for time or fuller acknowledgement to explode them. A bad habit, Mr. Ferguson, but human nature is weak. I fear your old friend here has given the public an exaggerated view of my scientific method. However, I will only say at this stage that your problem doesn't appear to me to be insoluble. The ancient farmhouse in which Bob Ferguson dwelt proved to be a large, straggling building, very old in the center, very new at the wing. An odor of age and decay pervaded the whole crumbling building. The large central room into which Ferguson led us was a most singular mixture of dates and places. The half-paneled walls may well have belonged to the original German farmer of the 17th century. They were ornamented, however, on the lower part by a line of well-shaven modern watercolors, while above, where yellow plaster took the place of oak, there was hung a fine collection of South American weapons, which had been bought, no doubt, by the Peruvian lady. Holmes, with that quick curiosity which sprang from his eager mind, examined them with some care, and then turned his attention to a spaniel which came slowly forward from his basket in the corner. It walked with difficulty to Ferguson and licked his hand. Dear me, what is the matter with your dog, Mr. Ferguson?
That's what's puzzling the vet. A sort of paralysis. Spinal meningitis, he thought. But it's passing. Isn't it, boy? You'll be all right soon, Carlo, eh?
But tell me, did it come on suddenly?
In a single night.
How long ago?
It's about 4 months.
Very remarkable. Very suggestive.
What do you mean, Mr. Holmes?
It confirms what I'd already thought.
For heaven's sake, what do you think? Look here, this may be just an intellectual puzzle to you, but it's life and death to me. My wife a would-be murderer. My child is in constant danger. Don't play with me, Holmes.
I'm afraid there is pain for you, Mr. Ferguson. Whatever the solution may be.
I would spare you all I can. I can say no more for the moment. But before I leave this house, I hope I may have something definite.
Well, please God you may. I ask your pardon, Mr. Holmes. Well, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I'll go up to my wife's room and see if there has been any change.
Well, Holmes, a charming old room, I see. Just look at those oak beams. Magnificent.
Holmes,
see that iron fire screen. 1670. And all these fascinating weapons and trinkets. A most interesting collection, my dear Watson.
Holmes, I do wish.
Mister, please.
Me? Yes?
You are Dr. Sir.
I am.
Oh, my mistress is very ill. She fell on the food. Very ill. She may be a doctor.
You are Dolores.
Yes.
Would your mistress see this gentleman?
You need it, sir. She sees him. I say so.
But she will not see Mr. Ferguson.
Oh, no, sir.
Watson?
Of course I'll go, if it'll be any use.
Oh, sir, I thank you a thousand times. You follow me now, sir? You lie like that one day, 2 days. I'm afraid she dies.
Dolores, is that you, child?
Who are you?
I am a doctor, ma'am.
A doctor? Did my husband send for you? Where is he?
He's in the house. He's only waiting for you to say you will see him.
Oh, no, no, I will not. Oh, what shall I do? What shall I do with this fiend, this devil?
Madam, I am here to help you.
No one can help. It is finished. All is destroyed. Whatever I do, all is destroyed.
No, madam, no. Your husband loves you dearly. He is deeply grieved at what has happened.
But do I not love him, then? Do I not love him enough to sacrifice myself rather than break his dear heart? Yes, Doctor. That is how I love him. And yet he can think such things of me. Speak to me in such a way.
I assure you, madam, he doesn't understand.
But you should trust me. Oh, no, no. I cannot forget those terrible words. Nor the look on his face.
But I can promise you, madam.
I will not see him. Go away. You can do nothing for me.
Very well.
Tell him only one thing. I want my child. I have a right to my child. That is the only message I can send to him.
How the devil can I send the child to her? How do I know what she mightn't do to it? Why, I'll never, never forget seeing her beside it, with its blood on her lips. No, the child stays with Mrs. Mason, where he's safe.
Oh, Father.
Jack, my boy, come in, lad. That's all right, old chap. I came home early because my friends, Mr. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, have come to spend an evening with us.
Hello, Jackie.
Mr. Sherlock Holmes, the detective?
None other, my boy.
How do you do? And what about your other child, Mr. Ferguson? Might we make the acquaintance of the baby?
Oh, I beg pardon.
No,
sir.
No, wait, Mrs. Mason. You've just come in time.
Very good, sir. Look, I just brought baby for his good night, sir. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were engaged.
Here we are, Mr. Holmes. Your request attended to in an instant. Now, isn't he a fine little fellow?
Yes, grand little chap.
Ah, my word.
His father in miniature.
Do you think so?
Hey, Watson?
Without a doubt, Holmes.
Mr. Ferguson, if I were ever to have a son of my own, I can't imagine a finer specimen.
Do you really say so?
Well, there's praise for my little fellow.
Well, Jackie, do you like your little brother?
Jack has very strong likes and dislikes. Luckily, I am one of his likes, aren't I, lad?
Oh, number one, Dad.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Mason. That'll be all.
Thank you, sir.
Good night, little one. You're keeping safe.
You can count on me for that, sir.
Ah, dear little thing.
fancy anyone having the heart to hurt him.
Right, right.
Now, run. Go along, Jack. These gentlemen and I have important matters to discuss.
All right, Dad. Don't be too long.
I won't.
Poor boy.
Mr. Holmes, I'm beginning to feel that I've brought you on a fool's errand.
Oh?
Well, what can you possibly do? Except give me your sympathy. This whole affair must appear most exceedingly delicate and complex.
It's certainly delicate, but I haven't been struck up to now with its complexity.
Oh, really?
It's been a case for intellectual deduction. But when this intellectual deduction is confirmed point by point by quite a number of independent incidents, then the subjective becomes objective, and we can say confidently that we have reached our goal.
Reached our goal?
I fancy as much. I had, in fact, reached it before we left Baker Street. The rest has merely been observation and confirmation.
For heaven's sake, Holmes, if you can see the truth in this matter, don't keep me in suspense. What's it all come to? What shall I do about it? I don't give a hang how you found your facts, so long as you really have found them.
Certainly. I owe you an explanation, and you shall have it. But you'll permit me to handle the matter in my own way.
But I don't see you.
Is Mrs. Ferguson capable of seeing at Watson?
She's ill, but she's quite rational. Yes.
Capital. It's only in her presence that we can clear it up. So, let's go to her.
But she won't see me.
Oh, yes, she will. Here, Watson.
Hmm?
You'll at least have the entree. Take this note. Have the goodness to give it to the lady.
Oh, very well.
Mr. Ferguson and I will follow in 2 or 3 minutes. I fancy she'll be ready enough to receive us by then.
Come in, gentlemen. Please come in. My mistress waits for you.
Darling.
No. Do not come near me.
But, Holmes.
All in good time, Mr. Ferguson. Now, I think we can dispense with Dolores.
No. She must stay or you must go.
Very well, madam. If that is what you wish. Now, Mrs. Ferguson, I am a busy man with many calls on my time, and my methods have to be short and direct. The swiftest surgery is the least painful. Let me first say what will ease your mind. Your wife is very good, a very loving, and very ill-used woman.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, prove that and I'm in your debt for life.
I will, but in doing so, I must wound you deeply in another direction.
I don't care, so long as you clear my wife. Everything else on earth is insignificant.
Then let me tell you the train of reasoning which passed through my mind in Baker Street. The idea of a vampire was absurd to me. Such things do not happen in criminal practice in England. And yet your observation was precise. You had seen the lady rise from beside the child's cot with blood on her lips.
I did.
Didn't it occur to you that a bleeding wound may be sucked for another reason than to draw the blood from it?
What?
Wasn't there a queen in English history who sucked such a wound to draw poison from it?
Poison?
A South American household. My instinct felt the presence of these weapons on your walls downstairs before my eyes ever saw them. It might have been some other poison, but that was what occurred to me. When I saw that little empty quiver beside the bird bow down there, it was just what I expected to see.
But what are you saying?
If the child was pricked with one of these arrows dipped in curare or some other devilish drug, it would mean death if the venom was not sucked out.
I don't understand.
And the dog? If one were to use such a poison, wouldn't one try it first in order to see that it hadn't lost its powers? I didn't foresee the dog, but at least I understood why he was crippled, and he fitted into my reconstruction.
Good.
Now do you understand? Your wife feared such an attack. She saw it made and saved the baby's life. And yet she shrank from telling you the truth. For she knew how you loved the boy and feared it might break your heart.
The boy? Jackie?
I watched him as you fondled the baby down there just now. His face was clearly reflected in the glass of the window where the shutter formed a background. I saw such jealousy, such cruel hatred as I have seldom seen in a human face.
My Jack?
You have to face it, Mr. Ferguson.
No.
It's more painful for you because it is love. A distorted, maniacal, exaggerated love that has prompted his action. Love for you and possibly his dead mother.
Oh.
His very soul is consumed with hatred for that delightful baby. Its health and beauty are a contrast to his own weakness.
It's incredible.
Have I spoken the truth, madam?
How could I tell you the truth, Bob? I knew what a blow it would be to you. I couldn't tell you.
I understand. Oh, my darling, I hadn't the faith to trust you. I suspected you at once. I accused you, called you all those vile names.
Oh, no, no more, dear. You were not to know.
I think a year away from you all would be my prescription for Master Jackie, Mr. Ferguson.
By heaven, you're right.
Oh, only one thing puzzles me slightly still, madam.
Yes?
How did you dare not say anything and leave your baby open to another attack?
Oh, I had told Mrs. Mason everything. She knew.
Ah, I thought as much.
My darling, what a dreadful experience for you.
And you, I didn't know what to do.
Well, never, my dear. Watson, this, I fancy, is the time for our exit. If you'll take one elbow for two faithful Dolores.
Well, what are you doing to me?
I will take the other.
Oh.
I think we may leave your friend and his wife to settle the rest between themselves.
I've only one further note of this case. It's the letter which Holmes wrote in final answer to that with which my narrative began. It ran thus.
Baker Street, November the 21st. Three vampires. Sir, referring to your letter of the 19th, I beg to state that I have looked into the inquiry of your client, Mr. Robert Ferguson, of Ferguson and Muirhead, tea brokers of Mincing Lane, and that the matter has been brought to a satisfactory conclusion. With thanks for your recommendation, I am, sir, faithfully yours, Sherlock Holmes.
That was The Sussex Vampire, the first of another series of Sherlock Holmes stories by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. As Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, you heard Robert Langford and Kenneth Baker. Others in the cast were Tony Jay, Jacinta Rosero, Elizabeth Hamilton, Linda Stewart, and Beth Boltler.